So we are going to just take about 10 minutes this morning just for a short reflection out of Matthew. We've been asking the question, what would a community of people look like that allowed themselves to be shaped by the teaching and example of Jesus? So that's what kingdom culture is about. How does the teaching of Jesus actually affect the way we live and respond to what's happening in our culture right now and in our relationships with each other? And our expectation as followers of Jesus, and this seems crazy that I would have to, that I would say this, but our expectation is that as we listen to Jesus, real change is possible in our lives, and that we actually begin to live and act and think and care about what he does. And that doesn't mean that we just continue to live as we would normally live. Jesus actually invites us into a process of transformative change that changes who we are individually and changes who we are as a community. And I would argue that the very process that we're working through in response to what's happening in our country in relation to Indigenous people becomes an opportunity for us to actually think through what our values are and what it means for us to follow Jesus. So you'll recall early on in Matthew, Jesus said, come follow me, to Peter and Andrew, who are fishermen. He said, come follow me and I'm going to make you fishers of people. And then Jesus traveled throughout that area, teaching, announcing the good news about what God was doing through him and caring for people, healing people, forgiving people, delivering them from all kinds of spiritual oppression. And later on, we're going to find in Matthew also feeding them and caring for them that way. And Jesus then, at the end of Matthew chapter 9, said, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray that the Lord of the harvest sends out more workers into his fields. And so I just want to read a few verses, four or five verses from chapter 11 to you this morning, and then say a few words about them as we prepare for partaking in communion together. So I'm in Matthew chapter 11. I invite you to read this along with me. And I invite you to come back and read this whole chapter from Matthew 11 as we go. So when Jesus had finished giving these instructions to his, chapter 10, Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. Here are the names of the 12 apostles. And then it lists the names of the 12 apostles. Then verse 5, Jesus sent out the 12 apostles with these instructions. Don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near, or has arrived, or is coming near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. I think the key verse here for us this morning is that last one. Give as freely as you have received. So when you're reading through the Gospel of Matthew, it becomes pretty clear, pretty quick, that Jesus had a strategy to bless the world. And call it crazy, but it's a strategy that God has used from the beginning of his relationships with people to now. You can think of all the different initiatives that God has taken through the stories of Scripture, and God always uses people to bless the world. God is working his plan in and through people. God chooses to work through broken, very imperfect people, most of the time ordinary ragtag people like these disciples who come from all walks of life, and he blesses them so that they can be a blessing to others. And that pattern goes all the way back to Abraham. So what we're reading here is God's promise to bless the peoples of the world through Abraham. He's fulfilling that by blessing these disciples and then sending them out to bless others. And so Jesus actually sends them out to the towns of the Jewish people. And don't get stuck on the fact that Jesus tells them not to go share the news with the Gentiles and the Samaritans. That seems like a bit of a contradiction of what Jesus is about in the world, for him to send out the disciples and say, don't go to the Samaritans and don't go to the Gentiles. But what was happening there is Jesus was initially fulfilling his call as the Messiah to bring good news to the people of Israel first. And then, as we know, he then sends them out. He broadens the circle and sends them to the Samaritans and to the Gentiles. So I want to keep this. We need to keep this really simple because I think it really is simple. So Jesus blesses them, tells them that the kingdom of God is arriving, gives them the authority to do what he does, And then he sends them out to do the same thing. So you can imagine how this plays out with me. Think about this for a minute. These ordinary people with no credentials, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Andrew, and Simon, and Bartholomew, they have no credentials, they have no capacity, no official capacity whatsoever, arrive in a town and go to a marketplace. What they tell people is that God is doing a new thing in the world to bring forgiveness, hope, restoration, reconciliation with God. And then they start to heal people and to deliver people and to cast out all kinds of spiritual deliverances. And you can imagine people saying to them, like, what are you talking about? And they would say, well, there's this guy named Jesus who we've been hanging out with, and we think he's God's servant to bring a new reign of God to the world. And of course, the language that they were using was familiar to those people. That language would make no sense in our culture right now. And some of the people would have said, oh, tell us more about that. Other people would say, oh, you sound pretty whack to me. I think you should probably leave our town. And I'm pretty sure that that's exactly what happened on more than one occasion. So based on what these people had seen and experienced in their relationship with Jesus, they were then sharing that with others. And I think the key phrase there is, give as freely as you have received. Give as you have received. So some of us might think, it's the miracle working part that I have a little bit of trouble with. Like, I haven't raised the dead. I haven't cured any lepers. So I'm not so sure I can do this proclamation of good news that Jesus is talking about. But I think that would be to miss the point. I think the question would be, what has Jesus done for me? What gifts of grace and truth is Jesus giving to you that make your life better, that reveals something of what the kingdom of God is like that you can share with others? Some of you may well have gifts of healing or prophetic words that you might share with people that validate the message of the kingdom. Personally, that doesn't happen to me very often, but I am experiencing the faithfulness of God in my life and in my journey day by day that is an expression of the fact that the kingdom of God has come that I can share with others. Is that making sense? So God has been faithfully present with me, loving me, caring for me, and shepherding me, often in spite of my lack of faith and even unfaithfulness to him. That's the good news of the kingdom. And I can share that with other people. The kingdom of God is coming in my life. Can you say to someone, the kingdom of heaven is near? Can you say that to someone? The kingdom of heaven has come near in Jesus. I can, as I thought about it. At times I doubt it. At times I question it. At times I lack faith. But when I stop and think about it, I do believe that the kingdom of heaven has come near in Jesus and that I have something that's good that I can share with other people. That's one of the reasons why we gather week by week, just to remind ourselves of this story of what Jesus is doing so that our faith is renewed and we can walk in it and live in it. So let me give you one example related to what we were just talking about how we need to contextualize this in our own context. So if you've been reading the news, you'll notice that the Catholic Church in particular is under all kinds of pressure right now to own its own history in Canada and to make things right. And it has been dominating the news this week, and it's even dominating the conversation, I think, of quite a few Canadians. And I ask myself, in the midst of this context, how can you and I, representing God and the good news of Jesus, stand up and say, the kingdom of God is here, believe in the good news? Even as these horrific discoveries of past injustice are being revealed, how do we stand up even amongst our Indigenous neighbors right now and say the kingdom of heaven is near? Does the question make sense to you? I think we do it by walking humbly as followers of Jesus, being honest, taking responsibility for past actions of the church as best we can, seeking forgiveness and making reparations as best as we are able. In other words, we live out the values of the kingdom and the teaching of Jesus in our relationships with people in the current context that we're in. The good news of the kingdom, it seems to me right now, is that because of the forgiveness of God, we can own our own stories as followers of Jesus in this country. And even if denominations aren't willing to humble themselves, we can humble ourselves as individual followers of Jesus and follow him in our relationships with the people around us. So again, the big idea here, give as freely as you have received. Jesus said to his followers, give as freely as you have received. So has God treated you right? Is God being faithful to you in relationship? Are you experiencing any mercy and grace and love from the Spirit of God in your life? Are you experiencing any patience and kindness? Any truth-telling in your relationship with God? How can you express that to the people God is bringing into your life? Don't hold back. God has been generous with you. You can be generous with others. So as we come to the communion table this morning, I just want to ask you this question. What has God been giving to you that you can freely give to others or share with others? That comes right out of this teaching. What has God been giving to you that you can share with others? I'm not going to ask you to respond out loud this morning, but as you think about your own journey, what's happening in your relationship with Jesus right now, what is he giving to you that's good news for you? What blessing, what hope, what gifts of grace is he giving to you? Let me just pray for us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for your life. Thank you for the hope that you give us. Thank you for your kindness and mercy, for your forgiveness, for your patience, for your gentleness with us. Thank you for all these signs of your kingdom in our lives. Thank you also for the miracles you're working in our lives, in our families, in our relationships. And so, Lord, we just hear your invitation today to freely give as we have freely received. Help us to do that. Thank you, Lord. Amen.